You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
And turn your cell phones on and please keep table conversation to a maximum.
Yes, this is true.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Public Access Live from the Blind Tiger Comedy
Club. Make some noise, everybody.
Yeah.
We're doing it live!
Fuck it, we'll do it live!
Fucking thing sucks!
And we are happy campers to be here at the Blind Tiger once again every third Friday. And Regan, we're happy campers to be talking about what today?
Three topics today. Topic number one is, tell us your first experience with hip-hop or rap. And did it stick with you for life? Topic number two, describe the traits that you get from your father. And topic number three, if you could get a tattoo that moves like a moving tattoo, what tattoo would you get?
And we are pleased as punch to have on the podcast once again, like every live podcast, the Blind Tiger Comedy Club audience. Guys, make more noise one more time.
Awesome. Yeah.
There is seven white people, so that means that there is, what, 7 times 7
35.
Is 30, no, that's 7 times 5, 7 times 7 is 49.
49.
So 49 real people
and
here, which is awesome.
Let it also be known that this show's gone international.
It has, because we have someone from Alaska.
Oh,
that's
shit.
Right, international. Yeah. You call it a state? I don't. My flag's got 49 stars, you Eskimo fuck. And we are happy to have you drive all the way down here, and we welcome you with open arms from the second biggest state in the country, from Texas.
Yeah,
our nuclear button's bigger than yours.
It's got more girth, too. It's a fatter button.
Yeah, it is a fatter
button. It's a fatter button, for sure, 100%.
It's an obese button.
So, Alaskan guests, if you can please go to the microphone.
You don't have to put him on this.
No, I'm being serious. Okay, so what is your name, sir?
Michael.
And why did you drive from Alaska to where you are now?
So I could get roasted on a podcast.
That's right. Well, you're not going to get roasted.
Yeah, this isn't an oven.
I can't even see you. You could be gorgeous.
Michael,
he is gorgeous.
Living my dream, actually.
Okay, so explain the dream that you're living, please, Michael.
I'm traveling the country in a converted school bus.
Wow. How much LSD are you doing?
He's doing. You're traveling from November to April?
November to April. I left end of November. I'll get back sometime in April.
So I'm very curious, and I know our listeners are going to be curious too. Thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate that a lot. How did you end up in the basement of a children's restaurant listening to three fat Mexicans talk shit about people? How did you end up here?
If I'm going to go through the whole process, I tried to go to a Laugh Out Loud show.
Okay.
I got canceled. I got sent to an open mic where Abby was hosting.
That's
she
right.
told
Abby
me about
Dennis,
the show tonight.
Past guest.
Said it was 10 o'clock, showed up here, and...
Oh, man. You're in the right place.
You are in the right place. Good. Because
Abby Benes knows where the fat Mexicans are.
That's right.
Point
that's
and click.
Right.
She and brought, as you took
drag and
stroll, as you took the stroll down the stairs into this weird dungeon underneath a themed restaurant, what was going through your head?
Love being in basements with strangers.
Yeah. So, Michael, all the way from Alaska, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Give him a round of applause. That's really awesome.
He will survive the night.
That's right.
He will survive the night.
He's a Jack Kerouac of traveling artists.
He's Jake Gyllenhaal in Zodiac. He lives. He's in the basement. You're like, oh, fuck, he's going to get murdered by the Zodiac killer.
When Roger Rabbit was all like, let me get the poster. Please.
And he's like, fuck, I'm going to die. And he
lives.
Yeah,
he fucking takes off.
And then you're, yes.
Yeah, your mind's going to get hunted, dude.
So, Iron Man's badass in that movie, by the way.
Iron Man is badass in Zodiac, and so is the Hulk.
The Avengers is badass in Zodiac, dog.
Yeah.
That's a badass movie.
It's fucking the side Avengers project called Zodiac. Where they hunt the clown from fucking, God damn it, American Horror Story.
Have I seen Zodiac?
Apparently not.
No, you saw Zodiac. I'll tell you why. We went to go see
Revenge of the Nerds is in it.
That scene. Oh,
Incredible Hulk's in it.
That scene sticks out because we saw it like a 10 o'clock screening, and it's one of those things where it's a 3-hour long movie. So at the midnight mark, the theater was like, oh, we're closed. So they shut off the power, and the air conditioning went off.
Oh.
So we were fucking sweating balls during that cellar scene, and it was like, what do you call it? D-Box before D-Box.
We were in the movie.
We were going to get murdered. We were straight up murdered.
Yeah.
But no one's getting murdered here tonight.
Not tonight.
No, not yet, motherfucker.
Not down here. This is a safe place.
Right. So a lot's been going on.
Not a safe
lately space.
It's a safe place. There's a difference.
Hashtag me too. Right? Mm-hmm. We're gonna get that. We're going to talk about that elephant in the room, guys, today.
Wait, what? You know, why?
Because we are equal opportunity. You know, we see women equal than men. And everyone's getting touched.
Yeah.
So I just want to let you guys know that just because you're a man doesn't mean you're safe.
We touched on that last time we were in here in the sense that you show your dick to everybody. And us guys.
Don't fucking double dare me.
It's early in the podcast.
Yeah.
Don't Mark Summers me, motherfucker. Yeah. I'll go physical challenge instantly. Yeah. I will physical challenge right away.
And unlike Mark Summers, he's not a germaphobe.
No, I'm not. Yeah, my dick's touching stuff.
Yeah. And he's not going to go, ew.
I'm not going to, my dick's not fist bumping anybody. It is a hug or a firm handshake.
Real quick, fun fact about Mark Summers is that, you know, he's on the Food Network, right? He's a big component of Food Network. He hosts the show Unwrapped.
He's a producer.
And so there's a show called The Best Thing I've Ever Eaten where they talk to all the Food Network celebrity chefs and they ask, what's the best thing you've eaten? This motherfucker says the best hamburger is that Steak and Shake.
Fuck Mark I don't know Summers.
I love Mark Summers, and then he says, my favorite hamburger is Steak and Shake. I'm like, ever. Like, burgers ever. It's not like fast food
but
burgers.
He's like, he could be like a homeschooled kid. Like, you don't know, like...
Oh, like those
he
kids that were
know
tortured in that house
by
the
like
guy
he
with
might
the
not
weird
know
haircut.
A producer
they didn't know
Food
what
Network.
A police officer was, so maybe Mark Summers doesn't know what a burger is.
Just picture...
Maybe he was raised by people that tortured him, and that's why he's a germaphobe.
Exactly.
And that's how he got to host Double Dare.
Yeah, because he has a very weak immune system from being trapped in a basement, much like we are right
raised
now.
Raised by the Zodiac Killer.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, Ted Cruz.
But just understand my frustration of having to see, like, Duff Goldman go, oh, the best burger is, like, made of Wagyu beef or whatever, and then... Like Steak and Shake. He's like, God damn it. But you know what? I love
That's
Mark
Summers. That's the boss, dude. He's the boss.
I'm still
Who's
a fan.
The boss? Mark Summers.
Mark Summers. I'm still a fan.
You know, so we're grateful for you guys for joining us, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. So let's go ahead and get these topics started.
Ow!
So, Jess, what are we talking about today?
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to my first segment of the evening, the segment that I like to call, yeah, I'm going to look into that. It's a segment where I like to talk about upcoming movies and video games and all kinds of stuff like that, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of friends and listeners and live audiences everywhere after said junk is going to be, yeah, I'm gonna look into that.
Yeah.
So this week I'm talking about something that's not so much new, but it's new to me because I saw it for the first time, and I thought it was pretty cool. And it was a 4-part documentary series on Netflix called Hip Hop Evolution. Yeah. Right,
so that's not a dance game.
It is not a dance game. I wish it was. I wish it was like
Hip Hop Evolution.
They're bringing back Dance Dance, but it's called Straight Up Hip Hop. But no, Hip Hop Evolution is a 4-part documentary series about, as the title implies, the evolution of hip hop, starting from this New York. I forgot. Yes, 100%. So it was a New York block party where like playing music, and so like before raps even came into be, talking about the genesis of music, and that's like the first part. The second part is like where rhyming and actual rapping came from, and
started with a DJ.
People talk
my
mad.
My name Curtis Blow, and I'm here to say
they talk mad.
But that's MCing. It started with the DJ first. The MC was second.
The MC was the hype man for the DJ.
Exactly. Right. And then when people
and it was
good times, and when the hype man came in, they were like, "Holy shit, this is something here!" And then they talked mad shit about Sugar Land Gang. About how that song
they stole everything.
Exactly.
You know what? I saw that documentary, man. I'm a hipster on you on this one. Bro.
Fuck yeah.
I'm real hip hop.
Yeah. And the third part was about the New York explosion of hip hop, where it started to kind of turn mainstream. And then the fourth part is about LA, the birth of gangster rap. It is fucking good. It's so interesting and it's so, like, I thought it was a really cool. Really cool documentary. Had a lot of good interviews. Africa Bambaataa
and the hip hop as a religion.
Yeah, exactly, and all that stuff.
KRS-One,
because rap is something you do. Hip-hop is something you live.
Yeah. There it is.
All praise
is due to KRS-One right there.
Yeah.
KRS-One right there.
And it was funny because like I was talking to the guys earlier about this. I'm like, well, why? How did I bump into this? And it was this weird conspiracy theory thing where I was like, oh, shit, your phone listens to everything you do, and I've been listening. Like,
the
I guess,
NSA.
Like, I was like, I've been, I guess, on my rotation more hip-hop than normal. And I was like, shit, has it picked up on that? And I was like, no, it's because
Run the Jewels, dog.
Yeah, it was that. But it was because I rewatched Some Kind of Monster, and then Netflix in its classic fashion. If you like Some Kind of Monster, you'll love Hip Hop Evolution, yeah. Which I thought was really
they did that to me.
Yeah,
they did that to me when I saw Dave Chappelle's New Year's special. If you love Dave Chappelle, you'll love Jeff Dunham.
It's comedy,
and I was like, yeah, I guess Chappelle's cigarette was his fucking ventriloquist dummy.
I mean, but it does do that. It's like if you like yeah. Stranger Things, you'll love Jeff Dunham. It's equally as
whoever
super
pays
goofy.
More money, right?
Yeah. So, Hip Hop Evolution is the inspiration for my topic for the night, and the topic is: tell us about your first experience with hip hop or rap music.
And remember, you guys can answer this question
and so
as well.
Stick that with you. Now, this doesn't just necessarily mean when did you first listen to hip hop? When did you first listen to rap? I'm talking about the first hip hop experience where you connected with it, whether it be positive. Or negative, like
because
some
right.
there's some people that it's just not for them and they don't like it. So
racist,
exactly, yes. Yeah,
yeah.
Not real people, they're not real.
Nah,
no, they ain't real.
They ain't real. You know who's real? We're fucking real. Dog.
We're fucking real.
Yeah.
So, dude, tell us.
You know who's real and real? White people. There's seven people.
They get extra. They're so real. They count, real, they count as seven.
I got an idea. Yeah. I got an idea. I remember when
Jeff,
I was in high school.
Till we announce it, sit the fuck down.
We
you
like,
go first. You
we
go,
love the enthusiasm.
We love to go first.
We're going to answer, then we're going to read Facebook, and then
no, we're
Jeff,
gonna,
and then we're
going
go, to go Jeff.
And then we'll read Facebook.
I love you, Jeff.
I love you, Jeff.
You interrupt me again, you're going to Alaska with Michael. Okay.
You don't escape the Zodiac dungeon when you step up to the mic. That's the rule. We'll fucking rubber down your dream.
A fucking letter you have to cipher. So please continue.
So my first experience with hip-hop and rap is actually when I was in middle school. And I had
1967, 1968. What was
it? No, it's not that bad, but it is pretty bad. It is pretty bad.
I'm going to date myself on
legit 89, right?
No, I think it's like 89.
89, yeah.
And it was a tape that had – it was like a mixtape that had straight up N.W.A. and Ice-T. It was like just a bunch of songs, right? And like – So
Fuck the Police and Cop Killer.
And, yeah. It's just – well, it's just so fucking here's the thing. So I listened to it, and that music genuinely scared me. But, like, being a horror movie fan, I enjoyed it. Right. It was dangerous. Like, listening to these people, like, rap about, like, fucking death and how hard it is on the street. Because
– Of L.A.
Of L.A. Because here's the thing. I elementary school, I was in the north side of San Antonio, which is, you know, pretty safe, you know?
Yeah, there's sevens of people in
– Exactly.
Yeah,
there's tons of sevens.
Right.
And then I moved
to,
like
– code. Yeah. It's like, oh, here comes a couple of sevens.
Then I moved to Southeast Side.
Right.
From middle school.
Full of four-fifths.
Totally full of four-fifths. Mm-hmm. And the shit that they're rapping about is like, it's not even like, oh, it's a few blocks away. It's, I'm living there.
You are.
But I'm coming from a whole thing of like, oh, like kids after school, hey, can you come over and play Dungeons and Dragons? To 1 year later,
you want to sniff?
Give
this.
Me your shoes, I'll fucking kill you. of shit, right?
You want to sniff this scotch pad?
You want to smoke the spearmint leaf? Because my cousin was getting high on spearmint leaf. He was so fucking street. He's trying to get high on spearmint leaf. Yeah. My grandma fucking spanked the shit out of him.
Yeah, that's right. Huffing glue.
Yeah. So listen to that music. It was fucking scary, but it was at the same time dangerous, and it felt like that's what like I was kind of drawn to it. I shouldn't be listening to it. Like I was like almost like taboo. My parents didn't know I was listening to it,
right.
And it did stick with me because all that shit that I was listening to, like it wasn't. It was almost like what I was listening to before I got into like any kind of like rock music or metal music or anything like that. So. But it was
so OG triple OG.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, like when that music came out and you had like suburban white kids listening to it and they kind of wanted to emulate the look and the style
like
of it.
Like CD4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exact opposite. It was like almost like the whole cautionary tale thing. I was like, I don't want to fucking
live
end up dead.
Right.
You know, I don't want my friends dead. I don't want people fucking, you know, pouring.
I like the Police.
I do like the Police.
Yeah.
That's a true story.
God damn, that shit wasn't dope.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I felt bad for like the cops that they killed because in my mind.
Yeah. They had families.
No, that's the thing. In my mind, I really did buy into the whole thing that these guys, I mean, Ice-T did have a criminal background, but like I did buy into the whole thing that they really did kill people, and here they're fucking singing
nightmare
about it.
Walking,
so you're listening
talking.
To fucking like
yeah. Oh, and then like so a little bit later, like when Cypress Hill came out, then I was like, oh, those were like
they're almost Mexican.
Yeah,
yeah.
But no, those guys, that guy really did kill somebody. He will just kill a man. That's what I thought.
Oh, right.
Of course, that's not true.
But he does it with paintballs now.
Right, yeah, exactly. So my first experience was like the at the time, the hardest, of hip hop, and it stuck with me. And I'm all about positivity, but I'm still gonna listen
hip-hop
to
hip hop positivity.
I'm all about hip hop positivity, right, but I'm still gonna listen to about people fucking dropping caps and shit.
Nah,
so,
I got you, dog. Yeah, that's my AKA hip hop name, Papa Caps.
P-A-P-A, like Papa, like
Papa
father.
Papa Cap. So, you know, I grew up, you know, in the hood and stuff like that, and I was a metalhead as well. And, you know, if you ever go into a bad neighborhood and you see a bunch of thugs walking down the street and they had their one skater boy, see you later boy with them, that was me. And it's like you see all these dudes with, like, you know, long tees and khaki pants and G-nights and stuff or Forrest Gump shoes. And then you had that one kid in like a Limp Bizkit shirt. Like, yeah, that was me. So, my first experience with hip hop, because I didn't grow up in the north side and moved to the east side. Like, I grew up on the southeast side, you know, from the start. So
yeah,
I started, it was third grade, mm-hmm, and it was probably a little bit more gangster, to be honest with you. It was a Technotronic.
Ooh. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Technotronic.
With Ya Kid K, is the one. Pump Up the Jam.
For those of you
who don't know,
that was my first cassette that I ever bought.
I was literally going to say that. That was my first cassette.
Yeah,
from Platters Records. Anybody from San Antonio over the age of 30.
I got mine from an Albertsons, McCreeless, I think.
Right? Platters Records, right? So I got fucking Pump Up the Jam on cassette, and I knew the entire lyrics, which then transitioned to me getting my cassette single. The Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack.
Of course.
Bobby Brown's I guess we're going to have to take control.
That is hip-hop.
Right? And then, surprisingly enough, it transitioned to Dr. Dre's The Chronic.
Because everybody got that album.
Everyone had
that. Every single human in eighth grade.
Daddy, if I have nuts on my chest, does that make them chestnuts?
Hell yeah. Yeah, you remember that.
And Daddy, if I have nuts on my chin, does that make them chin nuts?
Hell nah, bitch. That'd be a dick in your mouth.
Yeah, that's what the kids need to know.
Listening to that, and I was like, I can't pump up the jam to this. But I sure did. And it introduced me to drugs and fights. And
Chronic.
Wearing White Sox hats.
Right.
And not realizing why Dr. Dre didn't like Luke from Two Live Crew.
Oh, yeah.
I still to this day don't know why. But I know why he didn't like Eazy-E.
But real quick, in your listening collection, that whole Ghostbusters 2 theme was the Ninja Turtles film soundtrack, like, in your repertoire, because that had some...
Ninja rap?
No.
Oh, no. I'll tell you what. That one helped me in third grade.
T-L-E power.
Yeah, it helped me spell turtle, because turtle was a sight word and a spelling check. And then it was like, okay, and it had a picture of a turtle. I was like, T-U-R-T-L-E, power. To this day, say T-U-R-T-L-E, power, right? So now I can go, it's the N-O-T-O-R-I-O-U-S, you just lay down slow, is how I spell Notorious.
That movie, by the way, had the most poignant ending, where, like, it's Danny and his dad, and, like, they're talking, reuniting after, like, this big gang war went down. And, like, the dad's, like, trying to reconnect with him, and he's like, Danny. And he's like, Dad, it's Dan. And then T-U-R-T-L-E, power.
Because of the Foot Clan. Yeah. Now you wait your fucking turn like Jeff does, goddammit.
You want to die in the Zodiac basement?
But yes, thank you.
But yes, thank you, Davis. So, Pump Up the Jam, Technotronic, man, represent. Is if anyone finds a Technotronic shirt in an extra large, fucking hit me up, bitch.
Yeah. My first run-in with hip-hop, like I said, I was gonna date back in the 80s, NBC on Friday nights would do Friday Night Videos, where they played videos.
Yeah.
And the song that hit me and I've always had is Houdini's The Freaks Come Out at Night.
Yeah.
So I don't know if any of you guys have ever heard that song. The video, I can remember it in my child's mind. The video is amazing. because it's an 80s rap video with like weird people in costumes.
Yeah.
And it's
showmanship.
It's the freaks come out at night. So it's the freaks come out at night. Bum, bum, bum. The freaks come out at night. The freaks come out. And it's like Houdini. And it's Houdini. And it was amazing. And I remember. And then that was, I was just like, man, this is freaking pretty fun music. And then from Houdini went into Run DMC, who's the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Run DMC-esque shirt. Not of all time? Or you got to respond later?
Well, no. I mean, it's a subjective thing. So for me, they're the greatest of all time. Okay.
It's a fact. It's subjective. It's a fact.
So, but yeah, I just remember to this day, I remember being a child watching that on TV and watching the freaks come out at night. And you all should YouTube this video. It's an amazing, amazing video. But yeah, that just stuck with me forever. Houdini.
And also YouTube Pumps in the Bump by Hammer. Not MC Hammer. If you want to see a falling star with an erection, you want Pumps in a Bump. Now, Jeff, if you'd like to go to the mic. Jeff, how did hip-hop affect your life, you gangster-ass?
I was only going to explain that the MacArthur High School football team and the basketball team, well, when you take the bus to the game and from the game, you're wearing a lot of extra spit because the spray. There's a lot of spitting and spraying. What do you call that? When they beatboxing, I guess.
That's what seven people call beatboxing.
That was my first introduction to hip hop. It was all the extra spit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my hip hop name, is the spray.
Do you call black people brothers? When the brothers started spitting? Yeah, that's called beatboxing, Jeff.
Dude, I remember beatboxing in like fourth grade. That was
The bomb beatboxer.
That was my talent in the talent show.
Yo, mine too. We had rappers in the high school. I went to the Eastside High School, and I was able to do Timberland's like noise. Ooh, and they're all like, you can do Timberland. So, yeah.
I did the Fat Boys. You guys are so young, right? Do you guys know the Fat Boys? Do you guys know that there was a hip hop group called the Fat Boys?
Yeah. And when they would beatbox, they would go,
yeah. Yeah.
And they go,
yeah.
And they had their own movie called Disorderly.
Yes! Yes! Which is a classic.
First, the Fat Boys break up, now this. That's Boomerang. Travis Quimp, what do you have for hip hop, you gangster motherfucker? Seven gangster ass people.
God damn it. So I lived in the country.
So did Yellow Wolf.
Yeah, so my first experience came in fifth grade, and I was considered street because I listened to Big Willie Style.
Oh, wow.
Will Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere, but that's the thing. Somewhere across America, like, Big Willie Style would be, like, dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, Midwest and shit?
Yeah,
like,
Iowa.
Yeah.
Iowa.
They had no rap stations in Iowa.
But Iowa's where Slipknot's from.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, they're fucking... Corey Taylor raps.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. Like, I still like rap, but I just don't have a lot of experience with it, and I'm always open to stuff. So I'm going to be
like
using
sex.
This as a reference to learn other stuff.
It's like sex. Let me show you.
Yeah.
It's like sex. You like it, you don't have much experience at it, and black people are way better at it.
Yeah, I'm going to
But I got proof. So that's all I need.
That's right.
We'll show you some Two Short, some 3-6 Mafia, and then G-Eazy, how he rips them both off.
Yeah. And we'll touch you afterwards.
Yeah.
They were called the Fat Boys.
Gucci Gang. Gucci Gang. All right.
Miss Abby.
It's amazing.
Lil Pump.
Lil Pump? No, my rap name is Daddy Beans.
Oh, Daddy Beans. I like it. I like it. Pop a cap.
You should know that.
Yeah, I should.
No, like... I'm glad you mentioned 3-6 Mafia because I feel like that was like left out of like the whole like evolution of hip hop like thing.
Yeah.
Because the Memphis rap movement was happening right when gangster rap, quote unquote, was happening. It was happening side on side, like, and it was a completely different sound, and that's why trap music exists. Yes.
I think the documentary series cut off early because it's like it ends at gangster rap,
it's on the same timeline.
Right.
So it was happening parallel. So I thought that was fucked up of that documentary to do.
To keep 3-6 out of the history of hip-hop?
Do you realize that Nas's Illmatic is not as relevant as like 3-6 Mafia's Underground 1994 tapes?
I
That's
don't know.
Like a huge debate.
That's
in like
great. Well, I'll ask Juicy J because the other one's dead, right? What's the other?
Eazy-E's dead.
No, Juicy J is alive.
Yeah, I know.
And then the other guy from 3-6 Mafia...
There's so many people that are...
There's 36 of them.
No, there were so many.
No, there's 600
in the 90s?
How it works.
when it was 666 Mafia, there was like a bunch of them.
Yeah, it was 66.
There was like 9 of them.
4/5 of 66.
Anyway, my first experience with hip hop was like my brother showed me Third Degree went to my high school and they did music with like Swisha House and shit.
Oh, dang.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, like Lil' Kin. Yeah, like those people went to my fucking high school and shit.
So, do you know who Mike Jones is?
I don't know him personally. I'm not from
Houston.
His
album is called "Who Is Mike Jones."
Yeah, and I remember. So yeah, I went to high school with like Lil' Kin and shit. So my brother was like, "These are my friends," and he almost went to prison for attempted murder.
Damn,
my brother shot up a house. So
fuck yeah,
I feel like I've lived the hip hop life. You know?
Oh yeah, for sure.
It was chopped and screwed. Yeah.
Yeah. Did he sip lean?
No, like what we did was we would get purple Dimetapp and we crush up Xanax and mix it together.
What'd you call it?
We called it lean and we sold it to idiots.
Damn, dude, that's fucking awesome.
All right, next person in line.
Good answer.
Damn. Little Miss Tough.
I love it. My introduction to hip hop was I met legends. All right, yeah, Dave, is your introduction to hip hop?
Yeah. Well, my introduction was when I was like 3, like just hearing my neighbors play it outside. So like just all the time. Like I lived in Heritage when like there was drive-bys. Okay. Yeah.
And a lot of our listeners aren't from San Antonio, so please explain Heritage Park.
So it's like it like should be the nice side of town,
right?
Because it's near SeaWorld, but it's not.
It's where I currently live.
Yeah, like it was worse
than splash
then.
Zone.
Yeah, it's gotten better, but it was just
it ain't.
Because there's not drive-bys daily.
No,
it was
no,
like it was
drive-bys. They just kill dogs.
It's like once every couple weeks, though. It's
R.I.P. my dog.
No, back. But like I listened to hip hop growing up and stuff, and like. I care about music and like who makes it and what's behind it. And so like when I was like about 10, there was these assholes in my neighborhood who like called themselves the 504 boys. And I was like, do you understand what that is? Like, and they're like, yeah, man, it means murder. Like, no, that's their area code. Like, you're the 210 boys. Like,
you're the 210.
And they pushed me off my rollerblades. Like,
there's nothing more gangster than rollerblades, man. My wheel's going in a straight line, bitch.
Can you imagine him rolling up as a kid on rollerblades? Y'all ain't shit. And they push you.
You guys don't even know what 504 means.
Like, in his rollerblades with his long, flowing blonde hair and goes, you ain't hip hops. Well, thank you, Dave.
I'm the Viking of hip hop. That's
fucking true. Right. Right.
Plus, also juxtapose that whole scene near SeaWorld. That's the other thing that makes it kind of
exactly.
funny to me.
Yeah, you're like, the Bjork of hip hop. Hip hop. All right,
run
sir,
okay,
sir,
please.
Right, so I'm new, but my name
your name? What's your name?
My name is Clark.
Clark, what's up, Clark?
You know, having fun. But so I'm a black guy from Ohio. Ooh. All right, born and raised
Cleveland.
No, not even that close to that.
Bone thugs. Dog.
I'm from a very small town, country town.
Ooh. All right.
Like high school graduation is like 100 people.
Oh no, ooh, mine was 36. Go ahead.
There we go. Okay. So my first hip hop experience was when I was in third grade. It was Tupac, All Eyes on Me, Book One.
Yep.
Oh. So so it was gangster rap early. Damn. You know, so it was Tupac. Then it gradually went to you know, Biggie, of course.
You have to, yeah.
Of course.
You upgraded.
Did you have a hip-hop radio station growing up?
Yeah, it was
102.5. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Was it called The Beat?
Of course, yeah.
Because that's what everyone calls every hip-hop station?
It was The Beat. That's
funny. Of course,
that's
right.
It was K-P-O-P, Piss Off Your Parents.
K-P-O-P, 102.5, The Beat.
But so, it's funny because I was gangster rap early on, and then I grew into country.
Oh,
interesting. That's
so
a good transition.
Like Cowboy Troy.
That's right.
Yeah, okay, I feel you.
Yeah, so the older I got, the more I liked more music, the more I liked country also, because my town's in the country.
So do you love Toby Keith because he raps his country?
No, I don't.
Big and Rich!
No, I like original country that's not pop oriented.
Good. Okay. There it is. All
right. Yeah. You know, that makes more sense, right?
Fucking Johnny Cash.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, so I'm actually not black. I'm half black. So the white part of me likes country and the black part of me likes, you know, rap, hip hop. Yeah. So it makes sense, right?
Makes sense, yeah.
So he's three people. And a half.
So
and
I
half
brought people. I brought an additional white person to your comedy.
Oh, yeah, 10 people!
I'm here for you. Here for
thank you.
You.
Thank
you,
know, you very much.
You're
Bart.
Welcome.
Thanks
very
Bart.
Much. All right. Next, oh, man, we got a good line. How did hip hop affect your life?
Well,
your name, please.
Oh, my name is Ozzy Jackson. Ozzy. Yeah. And, hip hop affected my life. When I was growing up, my parents were like, they were black, but they were like, I call them block. They're BLAQUE. They're uppity.
Ooh.
They didn't want me to listen to
their
blog.
British black people.
No, yeah, they didn't want
BLAQUE.
That's
beautiful.
So they didn't want me to listen to rap. That's why they moved us out, like away from black people. I live in the woodlands and outside of Houston, Texas.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, and so like my first experience with, and I'm gay, so like I didn't relate to no hip hop at first. And then Lil Kim came out, and I was like, ooh. Oh my god, she says she's drinking babies, and I was just like. Wow, that is amazing. Because I didn't relate to it. Yeah, I used to rap like all the girls. I know every single one of her lyrics by heart now. I love Lil Kim. I even like
Queen B.
No, Queen Bitch, Queen B.
Yeah.
I like the Lil Kim then, the Ewok face Lil Kim now.
Do you like Foxy Brown?
I used to not like Foxy Brown because I was a Lil Kim fan, and you know you can't be both.
Yeah.
But I like her now. You can't.
Beatles
like,
Rolling Stones, right?
Oh my God. I used to go on the Foxy Brown message boards when I was like a kid, and I would just talk about her like a fucking dog and any other female rapper because I was all down for Kim.
She brought Jay-Z up. But anyway.
Yeah, she brought Jay-Z up. Lil Kim brought Biggie up. I think without her, there would be like no Nicki Minaj, no anybody else. Yeah,
no Cardi B.
No Cardi B. Mm-hmm. You know, she made it cool to be a hoe. And even though I'm college educated and stuff, like,
I get ignorant sometimes.
Well, we can get real ignorant, and I want to be a drug mule and a hoe growing up.
Being gay helps with that. You show it off does. Sorts of stuff.
Exactly. I've never been a drug mule, but I have been escorting shit before, so it's like, fucking.
Oh man! All right.
Introduce to the cousins.
That's what. Yeah. One more.
Introduce to your cousin. Anybody want to pay for sex too? I still, you know.
All right, Ozzy. If that's your real name, if you want some gay hip hop ass, you just see. Oh, you know what? Fucking see me after the show, man. It's
secret. Let's talk.
So, all right, I think we got one more. Lawrence, please tell us how hip hop affected your life.
How it affected my life. I realized when I first heard rap, I realized if you wanted to record a song, you didn't have to sing. You could just talk.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Cake realized that too.
That's called
prose, actually.
I own Cake songs at karaoke, just so you know.
I bet you do them off key.
But as far like,
I bet you're the only human that sings Cake off key.
No, I was introduced to hip hop or rap when I was actually 17.
Ooh. Oh, interesting.
And it was through Eminem.
And I
discovered Eminem through...
I think Eminem did that for a lot of people of sevens.
Right. But I discovered Eminem through Weird Al Yankovic's parody of his song Lose Yourself.
You reverse engineered hip hop.
You reverse engineered.
Exactly.
Weird Al.
You inceptioned hip hop.
That's
the Weird Al rule. You can reverse engineer fucking music because you're like, oh, that's funny. Holy shit, that's a good song.
That's based off a real song.
Yeah, for sure, 100%.
That's how I discovered Michael Jackson. It's not.
That's not.
Okay, thank you, Lawrence. Thank you. Do we have anybody else? Okay, one more. Last one. Your name, please.
Mitch from
hey,
Austin.
Hey,
Austin, thank you. It's almost as far as Alaska.
Yeah, we're doing great. Larry, right?
Yes, sir.
Earlier, you were super proud about knowing all the lyrics to Pump Up the Jam.
Yeah.
Isn't the entire song just Pump Up the Jam?
It's like
are there any other lyrics?
Like, pump up the jam, pump it up if your feet are flowing. If the jam's flowing, look it up, the party's going.
Fuck.
Pump
I
it
thought
up
it was
a little
that
more.
Over
we
and over again.
Going on the dance floor. You see, because that's where the party's at, and you and I can go do that. Oh, why a place to stay.
All right, exactly.
Make my day.
Good.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Eat shit.
Oh, man, that's good.
the first hip-hop song...
You're in the Zodiac basement, motherfucker! You want to die?
I've always been there. The first rap hip-hop song I remember hearing, I was a big horror fan too growing up, right?
Yeah,
I loved Freddy Krueger.
Yes.
I used to dress up like Freddy Krueger and go to school like all the time, like, with a paper bag on my head.
You're a dream
warrior? I was like the pork, like some paper bag and fucking knives on my fingers, get sent home. Yeah. I remember seeing
the oatmeal for texture.
Yeah. I remember seeing the music video for A Nightmare on My Street.
Beautiful. Yes.
Yes. Who was it? I don't remember. Will Smith.
No, it was not Will Smith.
Yes, it was Will Smith, A Nightmare on My Street. Because I'm like, I remember as a 6-year-old, like, this is a...
No.
Oh, Ben. Ben's here. Ben, can you fact check that? Fact check, man? Okay, well, we don't get signal down here.
I will say this, though. Regan brought this up. The Fat Boys also did a song about Freddy Krueger.
So many songs about Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
Okay, but that was the introduction. Through Freddy Krueger is you discovering hip-hop.
I just remember being bothered by the continuity error as a 6-year-old.
Yeah, no, okay, so...
Will Smith.
Oh, look at that. He was absolutely right. We apologize for questioning your childhood,
Mitch.
It's
okay, guys.
And thank you, Davis, for verifying that. And having signal down here. It must be because there's 7 phones.
The first hip-hop concert I ever went to was Redman, Method Man opening.
Fuck yeah. How old are you?
14.
Badass. That's
and I was super into Puff Daddy and Mace at the time. And I was so mad because my friend and I couldn't find the leather outfits.
Where can you? Did you have rollies?
We had nothing.
Okay.
Right? So, and the middle act, Jay-Z.
Wow. Open for Redman and Method Man?
No, they were the first act. Jay-Z, middle act. Headliner, DMX.
Oh, wow.
Who didn't show up?
I was going to say.
Didn't come.
That's a reverse order at Coachella now.
That's the 90s right there.
That happens in Detroit Rock City.
That's fucking hilarious.
Something like that.
That's all. I'm going to go do shots.
Thank you, Mitch, very much, man. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Freddy Krueger and rap, I'm all in. So what about Facebook real quick?
Real quick, Facebook answers. Alfred Perez says, I must say I love rap now more than I did when I was younger. First memories include, in no order, Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks did do a rap, yeah.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah. Rapping Rodney.
Rapping Rodney.
The Fat Boys. Of course, the Fat Boys. And DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. So, yikes.
Yeah, exactly.
Classic.
Joe Pesci did a rap, too.
Ugh.
He did a gangster rap.
Oh,
like, seriously,
let's forget Rapping Ronnie from The Simpsons, the Ronald Reagan rap.
That's right.
Andrew Thomas.
Oh, God. Andrew Thomas says, my sister's boyfriend was listening to the Wu-Tang Clan's 36 Chambers with me when I was about 12 years old.
Yeah.
I still own a copy of that album. And Cesar Proteo says, Outkast was probably my most positive first experience with hip-hop, and it blew my effing mind. Still jam to Outkast all the time. Getting into Kendrick Lamar was like hearing Tool for the first time.
Ooh.
Bold statement.
Gucci Gang.
They're a band.
So
I just remembered something.
You'll love them. Look them up.
Yes, Jeff. Yeah.
Anthrax did a rap album with Run DMC. A metal rap album.
Who say it again?
I think it was Run DMC. It was Public Enemy.
Yeah, Public Enemy and Anthrax did a song. It's called Bring the Noise.
Called Bring the Noise. Mm-hmm. And it is on the Attack of the Killer Bees album. That's pretty fucking good.
So, Jess.
So, speaking of Anthrax, the disease, Hip Hop Evolution. It's on Netflix. You can watch it now. I found it very interesting. And its only downfall is that it's only 4 episodes long and it ends on halfway through an era of what it beautifully illustrates, that hip-hop is life. It is not underground. It is mainstream. It is everywhere. Everybody is touched by it, whether they like it or not. Hip-hop Evolution. Yeah, I'm looking at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Thank you, guys. My name's Larry Garza, and now it's time for Dad's Corner.
Yay!
We are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch.
All right. In my segment, we talk about me being a father, raising children, and what it was like growing up as a child.
Here we go.
If you could raise your hand if you have a child. I got one, two, three, four, five, six times seven is 42. So we have 42
You're
parents.
You're using consensus math to tip it over. Yeah,
exactly.
All right.
So finally, we outnumber. Usually, we have one guest, and they're never parents, and so it's only me, and finally we outnumber the boys. So thanks for not pulling out. So in this edition to Dad's Corner, I asked, describe the traits of your father. I have a son. He looks like he's 7 people, but he's just one person because he's Mexican.
For a second, I was like, he's not overweight. Like, I thought it was an overweight thing.
It's because he looks like a white guy.
He's got a seven person name, too.
And Gunner James, right? And so the thing is that I'm seeing a lot of myself in him in the best and the worst ways. He jokes around a lot in inappropriate times. He'll fart on his sister, which is fucking hilarious. And I try not to laugh. And today, as a matter of fact, this wasn't the anecdote I was intending to use, but where he's not similar to me, but his reaction was that girls have crushes on him because he's a real good-looking kid, right? And he's 7 years old. And these little girls are telling him that they have crushes on him. So he tells us at the dinner table, we do this thing called high-low funny. It's like, what was your high of the day? What was your low of the day? What's the funny thing of the day? And his high of the day was that this little girl told him that she had a crush on him. And he's very much like me because then I said, oh, my God, Gunner, what did you do? He goes, stood there. And I'm like, did you tell her anything? No. And what did she do? She ran away. And I'm like, did you see her later that day? No. And I was like, yep, just like your dad.
He's playing a slow game, man. He's playing a slow game.
No,
don't say anything. Let her run off. She's going to be at school tomorrow. You know that, dude.
So,
you
know, there's this
classic tactics.
Classic Larry move, right? Acting like you're oblivious to their affections because you actually are. So
he's so cool.
So this morning, there's this other little girl that used to have a crush on him, and the new little girl that has a crush on him that rides the bus.
Drama,
right? And so I'm taking her to the bus again. They're seven. One of them is eight.
Ooh, ooh. More drama.
Yeah, she's a great cradle
robber.
Yeah, I'm right. Yeah, from another cradle.
Right, exactly. Right?
The two girls that have crushes on them, I get them to start talking because I'm just a fucking nice dad. And I'm like, oh, hey, I like your backpack. Oh, it's Shopkins. And the other little girls, I love Shopkins. It's strawberry kisses. And then, oh, it's a lippy lipstick. And they start talking about Shopkins together, getting along fine. Everything seemed good. And you can't
explain to the audience what Shopkins is.
I know, I was just about to say. Oh, for those who aren't parents, Shopkins, I don't know what they are either.
I'll explain
because they're toys.
They're little toys. They're random toys. You never know what's going to be in them, but they're little funny caricatures of groceries.
But it's not just groceries because they have a lipstick.
Yeah,
I guess that's groceries.
Yeah, it's
stuff you can.
Anthropomorphic grocery
people homies.
Yeah, right. Exactly. White people homies. Tory pool. Very
beautiful.
Good. Tory pool.
Yes.
White people homies.
That's the best explanation.
Are.
I get
the best explanation.
Literally what happened was I said, oh, I like your strawberry blanket. And she goes, it's not a strawberry blanket. It's Shopkins. And I think she almost added dick. Like it's Shopkins.
She did with
dick.
Her eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Added. So her and the other little girls start talking to each other, and I'm like getting educated. I didn't think by a fucking 40-year-old man would educate me more than 7-year-old girls would.
Welcome to the Zodiac basement, motherfucker. You know what you're dealing with.
So they're talking Shopkins with each other, right? And I'm like engaging in the conversation with them, and then my son, and I'm sorry, podcast listeners, but you'll get the inflection, looks at me and goes, Dad. Like a bro,
you're hurting his game.
You're fucking my game up. Yeah, he can't. But I start laughing. I'm like, buddy, why did you give me that look? And he goes, I don't know. And like I asked him later that day, I was like, why did you give me that look? Did you want me to go away? Were you mad that I had the two girls talking to each other? You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't try to separate.
He knows. He just didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
No, it's
but he wanted me to not be around.
That's exactly.
Instinctual
game.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I don't want to raise a fucking douchebag.
But you're not trying to raise him.
I want him to be a sweet boy. I want
him
to be nice.
He's
going to
be a sweet boy, but then he's got that, you know.
But that leads to the question.
Game.
That,
yeah.
So that leads to the question, what traits do you share with your father? Because I've been with the same woman since I was in high school, and I hope not the same for Gunner so he can be happy. And so I say,
yeah.
So what traits do I share with my father? So the thing about me, not to fucking be, you know, a basket case or anything, my dad wasn't around. I didn't really get to know my dad till I was 30. But the crazy thing about when that happens as a man is that you can definitely tell that there's nature versus nurture, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so my dad is a fucking cheapskate, is a pack rat, is a fanboy of things and ignores other stuff. Like, he'll spend all day, you know, buying cars and letting them rust. because he's saving them for a special occasion, which never happens.
Like all the toys that you own.
All the toys
that
I own that I've never taken out of the box, right? And it was one of those things that really made me realize that I was like him. When he shared an anecdote with me, that was a really funny anecdote that he had already previously shared with me about four times prior and had no recollection of it. And if any of you guys are my actual friends, you'll know that I'll fucking do that like five or six times. And I think that's the biggest trait that I have with my dad, is that I'm self-absorbed and I don't care about other people.
Bingo! Yeah. It's in your DNA.
It is my DNA. So what about you guys? What traits do you share with your father?
I met my father when I was 7 years old for the first time, and it was that really weird experience of like, that I'm looking at an older version of myself, and again, the whole nature versus nurture thing. I never hardly talked to him. Talked to him on the phone briefly, a handful of times before I flew up from here, San Antonio, to California to meet him. And when I met him, it was insane of how, even as a 7-year-old kid, we had the same stature, the same mannerisms. They talked the same. We moved our hands the same way when we talked. And he also liked to make jokes at movies.
Yeah.
Like watching movies, you like to make the people on the screen say shit. This is before Mystery Science Theater, but
yeah.
It was like he did the same shit I did. And it was insane how I picked up on all those things, realizing, holy shit, he's doing the same shit I do. And then fast forward like another 7 years later, where same thing, just periodic talks every once in a while, love him. We got along great and it was wonderful. I went back to visit him, was 14, so now I'm older. And it was insane how it was the same fucking thing of how I got older, but I saw him and we had the same fucking stature, the same sense of humor, the same jokes. Aside from the obvious, yeah. We looked the same, stubby, right. 5'5" something, you know, just stunningly handsome.
Right,
you
know,
brown person.
Right.
And so it was just really bizarre. But I think the thing that got me was the way we stand and the way we talk. And then, arms crossed. Mm-hmm. Kind of rocking back and forth, we listen, and it was really weird. So I see him like almost every other 7 years or so, and I visited him when I was adult, in 2007, and the guys got to meet him too. And and it's that weird thing of like we stood next to each other, not thinking about it, but just standing next to each other where we're doing the exact same thing.
Both of them in socks outside.
Yes. 100%. So it is physical stature, but it's also that weird sense, uncanny, like I wasn't raised to have that sense of humor, but I ended up picking it up somehow. Yeah.
For me, besides the Neanderthal forehead that my father gave me, and good teeth, though. We got some good teeth, thankfully. Yeah.
I got fucked up teeth. I got pickle teeth for my dad.
Unlike Larry and Jess, my dad was around.
Yeah.
Fucking. Must be nice.
Yeah.
I know.
No.
But interestingly enough, my father worked with Larry's father at the post office.
Yes.
And went to high school with Jess's stepdad.
Yeah.
Which is so weird. So,
Had a podcast.
No. That'd be really creepy.
They had a radio show together. Yeah,
exactly.
But aside from
we're talking about the president.
It's radio, right?
Yeah.
Aside from making this noise when I get up, which is exactly like my dad makes, which is creepy. My ability to eat the same thing every single day.
Good for you, man. Yeah. That's awesome.
I remember growing up, my dad would eat the same thing for lunch every single day. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, how can you do that? But now as an adult, I eat the same thing for dinner, 4 days of the week, all the time. For years, I've eaten the exact same thing. And it doesn't get old. I don't get tired of it. Mm-hmm. But I attribute that to my father, the ability to just eat the exact –
But you don't eat the same thing that your dad ate, right?
No.
What do you eat? Pussy.
We're both fond of that.
Oh.
But it's on the weekends, though, for the Monday through Friday. Monday through Friday, it's a mix of vegetables and chicken and stuff.
You know what? I'm not watching my calories. I'll take a little bit of pussy today.
It's cheat day. It's cheat day.
Fuck. That's a whole nother level. What the hell?
Cheat day.
It's cheat day. I've been pretty good. I a little walk exercise. I think I'm going to eat a little pussy this weekend.
That's wow. Eat a little pussy this week. God almighty. Anyway, yeah, eating the same thing. He ate like sandwiches. I eat like this weird like stir fry thing every single day.
And you're cool with it.
And yeah. You're cool with it. And you
because
don't
of the weekend.
It.
Yeah.
Right, anyway. Exactly.
All right. Audience.
Tori Poole, very funny comedian. How are you?
Hi, how's it going?
Thanks for joining our podcast. How are you like your dad?
So I'm really brown like him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really brown. Sort of womanizing similarly. I used to see him every so often. Like, he wasn't really around. Sad face.
Yeah. Right.
But whenever he came into town, he would cook these, like, really extravagant meals. Okay. Like, tripa soup, wonton soup, all these Peruvian dishes. I'm Peruvian.
Tripa soup? And for those who don't know what tripa is, it's intestines.
Yeah, I'd have to clean them, like, put them on the faucet, you know? And run them through.
And soak out all the grass and shit.
And make, like, ceviche and stuff. So, like, the way that I'm like him is, like, the cooking. Like, I'm really passionate about cooking, you know?
Hook it up.
But I'm like, he should also die. I don't know.
Well, if he's eating tripa soup, he will.
Later, right?
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, no, the cooking and just like the very, like, he's a very jovial man. Like, whenever he would come to town, I knew he was there by like the unsalted peanuts and the case of beer.
Dad's home.
And so I'm like, aw, daddy.
Yeah.
And he's like, girl, get me a beer. And I did.
Thank you, Tori. Next.
The smell of three puss is the smell of love.
Yeah. Oh. All right. Travis.
So I pretty much am like a distorted carbon copy of my father.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit smaller. I'm not bearded. And we look almost exactly the same. Pretty much like we laugh at the same things. We make fun of the same stuff. One of the things that I've noticed is, unfortunately for my daughter, but fortunately for me, she has inherited my looks. So.
Oh, she's adorable.
So she is an even more distorted
carbon
copy of your father.
Yeah, and
which equals adorableness.
Pretty much.
She's adorable.
She is adorable. She's adorable. She just needs a beard. Hey, your name, sir. Your name.
I'm Ted Moss, and I'm from Flint, Michigan.
Damn!
Sorry about your water.
I'm here for the water. Yeah. Thank you very much. Like your water. It's great.
Yeah.
Cool podcast. This is awesome.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And since you're talking about being like your parents, I'm old. I'm 65. My dad's dead, so we're not like that.
All right. Basically. Not yet.
I'm working on it. Yeah. But I did.
Don't worry. Dying runs in the family.
That's what I hear. But I did write a parenting book. It's on Amazon. Look out, I'm Parenting Here, Survival Guide for a Single Parent. So I got some thoughts on parenting, and
there
I got four
go.
Kids.
Hopefully I'll need that book.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can get an e-book for 99 cents. I'm just about giving the thing away. I used to lecturing on it and stuff. But in any case, now I'm doing stand-up comedy, so I'm not doing any of that thing. That's all serious shit.
That's what most single parents do.
Yeah. I got kids from 40 down to 20.
Ooh, wow. Ooh,
yeah, I got a shitload of kids. But in any case.
Fuck it. You should write a book.
Oh, yeah. I know. I should write this shit down. How I had the kids. No, but
20 years of fucking.
He had all the kids.
Yeah.
Each one is different, and I can't talk about my dad, but I can talk about how my kids are like, like me.
Okay.
Like, my oldest daughter is really driven, worked on Wall Street and did that, and I was driven in my career back in the day.
Yeah.
And then God gives you something else, and all of a sudden my son and anything like that, he's so laid back. He's very charismatic, I like to say.
So he's unemployed.
Way of saying lazy.
A bar in Chicago. No, he's a cool kid. Very charismatic. He's really a cool kid. But kind of an interesting story about him and how he's a little bit like me, I guess. When he was about 4 years old, he was out playing with his buddies, and you know how they do, run around the neighborhood. They start peeing on the house, and they aren't coming in the house. They're going to pee outside. And that just became a habit.
You've never peed outside.
And I peed outside because you're peeing on houses. I was like, well, no. Okay, yeah.
When you're in Flint, Michigan, you pee outside a lot.
Okay,
That's a Flint, Michigan thing.
So people can drink something.
But he's like 3 or 4, and he came home one day, and he said, Daddy, Marky and I were peeing outside. I said, yeah. He said, tell me this. why is Marky's penis so small? Smaller than mine?
Oh, Marky.
And I just said, you're welcome.
Yeah. That, you know what? I'm glad there's lead in the water. It made your dick big.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the only thing I can call for me.
Some positives.
Well, thank you very much, Dan. Right. Thank
good
you for joining.
Nice,
yeah, nice cool. to meet you. Thank you very much. Okay, your name, please. Welcome back.
Hey, I'm Jovita.
Yeah.
And a little bit of background on me. My mother is Hispanic and my father is German. And combined, they have 5 children. And I am the only one like my father.
Interesting. Oh, okay. How so?
The German side, where it comes to emotions, where it's just like, nine.
Nice.
Just no.
Cold and heartless.
Yeah. Basically. My brothers are all just emotional crybabies. And,
Mexicans, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And mommy's voice.
Right.
So she's a 5 and they're like 3.5s. Is that how, is that the division?
She's 3.5, she's a 5, so she's more German.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. I'm also the fair skinned one. So
there you go.
Okay,
so lucky. Yeah, so yeah, you exactly. didn't get beat with a rock. Yeah.
Yeah. So when it comes to it, like also because he's German, when I'm angry, I look like him.
Shit.
Just German all over, you know.
Was
just...
your dad's name Adolf?
Oh, God.
Come on.
No, it was okay. not.
But, I'm not saying Hitler. I mean,
take it on
first
the,
name,
the
guys,
non-emotion
come on.
Thing, because my brothers are all sissies, and I'm just like, nine.
Nice. I don't know. Lederhosen's pretty sissy.
But then again, that kind of German.
Okay, got it.
Is and there she loves sausage. Hey-o.
That's the worst joke I've ever heard.
I know. Thank you. You're welcome.
No, don't. Fucking
Mike
encourage
dropped.
Him. Don't
yeah.
encourage
fucking
him.
Fucking drop, dude.
Yeah. Don't enable that shit,
yeah,
God damn
dude.
It. That was pretty good.
Potato pancakes,
that was
dude.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Davis, what's up?
Yeah, Wiener Schnitzel, that shit.
Yeah.
You just, dent
stop.
That Samson mic. Yeah, like, I get the carbon copy thing. Like, my dad is, like, just me, but 4 shades browner. And,
so you're a lighter shade of brown, speaking of hip-hop?
Yeah. I do notice that we, like, stand the same and make, like, the same, like, Harry and the Hendersons, like, sad Bigfoot face all the time. come on, you got a mental image of.
Yeah, I absolutely do.
Absolutely.
Stop me for a second.
I have noticed that I'm a pushover like him.
You helped us with the mic.
Yeah, exactly. Like you just pointed at it, and I'm like, okay. I fix it. Okay.
Thank you.
But like he has a younger brother also, and I went to my uncle's wedding, and the three of us were standing together, and somebody took a picture, and my uncle made the joke that we are like the ghosts of Italian overeating, past, present, and future. And I was like, why couldn't you dickheads show up on my timeline? And like, my
Did
dad.
You guys just look like the fucking starting lineup for the 84 Celtics.
Like, my dad always warned me that, like, when you turn 30, you're just going to wake up and roll over, and you're not going to make it because you suddenly have a gut. And I was like, no, that's not going to happen. And, like, yeah, that's exactly what happened. Like,
I just got your morning,
can't escape
when your morning wood stops stopping you, your gut stops
yeah,
you. That sucks.
Just, all that pasta just caught up.
Well, thank you, Dave. It was very much, man. And, yeah. and what about Los Facebooks?
Facebook, Brian Ortiz says he hopes none.
Yeah. So, oh, man. We all hate our dads.
Greggy Rasputin, she says she inherited a giant ass.
that ass, though.
Your dad has a big ass.
Yeah, he might. We don't know.
Funny.
You might.
Guys with big butts are funny. I don't know why.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Weird.
It's awesome. Excuse me. Just the visual.
Like,
I have
me,
a big
like,
butt, but I hide it in
at the movie
jeans.
Theaters.
Yeah.
Oh, pardon me. Oh, excuse me.
I have a big fat ass.
Yeah. Alfred Perez says, almost everything from my looks to my cynical charms and temperament, all dad. Andrew Thomas says, my face, my huge feet, our ability to put on fat like no one's business, and the ability to put away pounds of food. Richard Morgan says, damn, if I answer that, then it makes you my therapist and I have to pay you.
We'll take money.
And Bridget Holly says, a dorky sense of humor.
Thank
oh,
you very
that dad
much.
Humor.
So, guys, if y'all have children and your fathers out there, you know, make sure that if you notice that there's anything similar in your traits to your sons that is negative, change it. And if it's positive, I guess leave it alone. Or don't. Maybe the negatives will make him a better person.
What? Wait a second.
Wait. No, what happened? All right, hold on. Okay, so if your kid, you know, parenting, fuck it.
There you go.
It's dumb.
There it is. That's his book's name.
So, Regan, what do we got today?
My segment is called Hey, That's Not Funny, where I talk about stuff that's not funny, like science and technology. So this comes out of MIT, that engineers are 3D printing living tattoos on people these days. It's a new technique where they're doing 3D prints programmed cells into living devices for the first time. This past December, engineers have devised a 3D printing technique that uses a new kind of ink made from genetically programmed living cells. These cells are engineered to light up in response to a variety of stimuli. Like if there's toxins or chemicals in the air, these actual tattoos will actually change and light up and stuff. When mixed with a slurry of hydrogel and nutrients, these cells can be printed layer by layer to form three-dimensional interactive structures and devices. So these are these 3D printed tattoos that they put on people, much like temporary fake tattoos that you'd buy in one of those little quarter machines that you go like that.
Yeah. How do you go?
Like this.
Oh, got it.
You get the tattoo and you lick it and then you put it on your hand. But now
you got to lick it before you stick it.
Of course.
Yeah. You got to make it nice and wet so we could kick it.
So they're calling them living tattoos because these tattoos can react to the environment depending on what they kind
of
create.
Their mood tattoos?
This is like.
Well, no, like actual like chemicals.
Very Black Mirror shit. Almost. Like,
oh yeah.
It's almost there.
Yeah. Butterfly effect.
So they call them. So they're calling them quote living tattoos because these are tattoos that are on you, and they're saying in the future that they can create ones that can actually, depending on your blood sugar levels or something like that, they can actually change and they can just show. So they'll be actually just tattoos that are moving, not moving, but living on you. But it may come up with my question, which is if you could have a tattoo that was living, as in like it could move.
Ooh.
What tattoo would you get? Are there people who has tattoos in the audience?
Oh, that's nice.
Good section. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, not sevens of people, ones of people.
Yeah.
There's lots one of people. 7 and then 8, 9, 10.
All okay. Right. So I was thinking about this. I don't have any tattoos myself. I'm too punk rock for that. So I've never really known. The only tattoo we talked about this in a previous podcast of what tattoo, if we had to get one, would I get? And it would be a bear on my arm so that when I flexed it, it would jump and it'd be the jumping bear. But it just goes back to an old high school thing, what is called the jumping bear anyway.
You should get it.
Well, that's what I would get now is a jumping bear tattoo on my arm.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have to flex because at some point I'm not going to be able to flex. It's a dumb, stupid thing.
No, but when you get old and it's flabby,
exactly.
It'll be like a slim, tall bear.
That still jumps, though.
No, but you can add an extra effect because like the bear jumps on its own. Like the living tattoo, the bear jumps on its own. But if you flex, it does one extra thing, like it does the splits or something.
Ooh.
Or it's activated by when you flex your arm, the bear jumps, but the moving aspect of it is that it does the splits or it does something extra or it fucking shoryukens or something.
I was
going to
say
like
it become like a Goku sort of thing where it's like charging up. And
yeah,
like,
yeah, for sure.
Oh, man.
But
I didn't think this through
you
at all.
Activate it by doing the flex.
I'm thinking like at a different level where it's just the tattoo and it just moves. Okay, yeah. You guys are much better at this than I am.
Oh, no. Well, that's. Jess, mine's real quick. So I had a major surgery to remove my kidney, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they cut me in like a very kind of a chevron shape. So what I would want to get as a moving tattoo is a roller coaster that would just ride my scar. Like just
hell yeah. Yeah, hell yeah.
And then when it goes to the end, people just raise their hands and go, ah!
You have to make an organ.
And then when they get to like the end, you just see like a flashlight.
Oh, because they took
a picture. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what I would want.
Ooh, that's really good.
Isn't a good one?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's almost like a people
really
who here has a tattoo that they've had to get a cover tattoo over. Oh, we have somebody that's done it.
Right. Yeah. So it's like you got to tell us what the original one was.
Oh, yeah.
That you got covered up.
So it's like a cover tattoo before the scar.
No, it would complement the scar.
No, yeah, well, yeah, okay, I'm saying, okay.
It'd be like, oh, did you get the tattoo, fucking roller coaster? I was like, no, I had surgery.
Like, not enough, I had the tattoo before I had this scar.
But what would be badass?
They just used it as a guideline.
What would be badass is like after the flash, there's a disappearing, reappearing tattoo of like you and your family on a roller coaster on your arm.
No, I want the people having fun.
Oh,
I mean, that's like an extra layer of technology. That's cool. Like, it would take a – there's an intro camera that takes a picture of the person looking at you, your tattoo, and then you're like, hey, check this out. And then it shows
– the whole – but I had to lift my shirt up and be like, hey, stranger.
Look at my moving tattoo.
We have a situation.
Yeah.
Remember that reference?
Yeah. This goes back. We had an old topic of what tattoos you have. I don't have tattoos, but I did say a nerdy tattoo that I'd wanted was based off this manga comic book called Berserk.
Oh yeah.
And in Berserk, the main character gets branded by demons, and it means he's forever marked as a food by these demons. And so I would want one on my wrist, but to add the component to the moving aspect of it in the book, when demons are nearby, the brand bleeds.
Yeah.
So mine, it'd be normal scar-looking tissue thing, and then when I there, it would fucking bleed.
And you'd look around and be like, demons are around.
Demons are around me.
Oh, I'd freaking nerd out.
That'd be
out
fucking
on
awesome.
That.
But then I can go back one level, and then my original old school when I was a kid, I always wanted a tattoo on my belly that said naval base.
Yes, that's great. That's
and it was a
wonderful
battleship, and then the moving one would just shoot rockets, but it'd still just be like classic.
It would just be slowly
base.
Moving.
Yeah, but then the back behind, like the sun of the like the horizon of the ship, it's an orange because it's naval base. It's like
triple punch.
Triple
punch.
Yeah,
triple
exactly.
punch. Very
so,
good.
But not,
triple punch.
I'd want
as George Carlin. That's a triple. Button.
Berserk or fucking naval base.
Yeah, if you got the Berserk tattoo, I'd push you off your rollerblades.
Nice tattoo, bitch. Like, just really mean.
Fucking nerd. I'm a demon, bitch. So speaking of rollerblades,
hey,
Davis.
How's it going?
Davis.
Yeah. I like just knowing that exists, I would have to get the tattoo that Harpo had in Duck Soup where it was like the doghouse and like and Groucho like meowed at the doghouse on his stomach, and like a Great Dane came out and started barking.
Wow!
Like you just now Movie that it's possible, magic. Do it.
Yeah.
Why not?
R.I.P. Harpo Marx.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, is he dead?
That movie was like 80 years ago. So
he's DAF. Yeah.
He died in like the 50s.
His wig is still alive though, right?
He's DAF, not DTF.
Yeah, got it. Oh, Def. Abby Dennis.
Anyway.
You have tattoos currently.
Right. So, like, if they can move, they're also, like, connected to the internet, right?
Okay.
Sure. Right. We're just...
Let's go with it.
We're in a different universe.
We're doing it. Yes. Yeah.
All right. So, I just want different manifestos just scrolling at all times. All
right. Yeah, you can get that.
I just want all of the manifestos.
Where, though? Manifesto just going down your back.
Where are you
on my back. It would have to be on my back because that's the biggest surface. Nice. We want the most surface area. We want
you don't
to
want them, like, on your forearm where you can constantly read
them.
Your back's
not
always
readable.
Visible. Your back's not always visible.
I don't want people. I want people like that I get intimate with to like
to read manifestos.
Yeah, I'm like, have you heard of the Unabomber?
Yeah, read
you know?
That.
And I just,
no internet. And
like,
I was like, oh,
you like anal? You know,
yeah,
what
exactly.
I mean? It would be like that.
I'm gonna white out this part.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
It's like cum joke, guys.
Well, that just go.
When she's in an area that has no internet signal, it's just like error 404.
Yeah, you just get error.
You have to play the dinosaur jumping game. You have to play the dinosaur jumping game.
It's a broken JPEG. It's a broken JPEG icon.
Error 404. That would be a badass tattoo anyway.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
Travis.
So mine's real pathetic because I've never been able to actually figure out what kind of tattoo that I got, but if I had one that was like able to morph due to my mood, I would get a barcode on my hand that the value on the barcode when I scan it goes higher the more pathetic and worthless that I feel, so I actually feel like I have some worth.
Oh wow!
That's
like, deep as hell.
That's a great answer.
Holy crap!
I feel like $1 million.
I was going to say every day $1 million.
Yeah,
$1 million
or 7 bitcoins.
Oh my god!
Yeah, $1 million US or negative bitcoins.
Before the explanation of the tattoos moving on their own, I thought maybe like we had to get a tattoo that if we moved it, it was fun.
Right.
Sure.
So I have like 4 tattoos, but I was thinking of the ones I wanted. I always wanted to get like a dragonfly or a butterfly like in the center of my chest so that the wings would be
your breasts.
Yeah, yeah.
And all
right. They're resting. They'd fly.
Would
right.
Fly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because your breasts don't move on their own, right?
And then it's just gonna when you get old, it look like a beagle.
A beagle? No, it's a beautiful butterfly that just turns into like a fucking size of a lamb's moth.
A death head's moth?
Yeah.
No, those are perky wings. It's just droopy.
But also,
okay. Oh, yes. I used to be a butterfly. Oh.
You can still touch if you want.
The droopy.
But also, for the people that don't have the background on Regan's tattoo, I wanted to ask, like, does your tattoo come from Shake That Bear?
What the hell? Shake what, That Bear? No, it isn't.
Oh, you should Google that when you get home.
What's is Shake That Bear? I don't know, but your reaction was great. Oh, my God. Okay, I got to Google Shake That Bear.
All right.
You probably don't want to, but...
Oh,
Shake... Is that a Sean Paul song?
No.
Shake That Bear, bear, gotta, gotta.
That's everybody. Nah, that's like some Lemon Party
Joel
shit.
Joel, Deanne, Rebecca...
It's an explicit video.
All right. I'll Google it. I'll watch the first 5 seconds.
It's Lemon Party shit. Yeah,
hey, guys. So, guys, go to meatspin.com.
Yeah. Speaking of Lemon Party, Jeff.
Jeff. What incoherent answer do you have?
I would go with an armadillo across the street, only if my blood pressure or cholesterol or blood sugar gets out of hand, it gets upside down with X's in the eyes.
Oh, that's nice.
I like it. That's a helpful tattoo. That's a great answer, Jeff.
Like, no, officer, I'm not drunk. Nope, your tattoo says you are.
Your tattoo emoji has X's on it.
Curse this tattoo. God damn it, it sells me out. I just thought about, we talked about this on the previous, and I was like, yeah, how there's like people that get baby faces tattooed. And that's like the most unsexy thing. And if you're having sex with a dude who has his kid tattooed
on
them,
no, your kids are there.
But then the next level,
you can't come on my
but it's also the really bad artist rendition of the baby, where it looks nothing like the baby. Just looks like fucking Predator or some shit. Just this really fucked up looking. Like, that's my child. And you're like,
The only thing less sexy than having to look at someone's child while having sex with them, a tattoo, is their child's face moving and looking at you while you're having sex with them.
Like, the worst.
But like licking their eating something. And
sure.
That's fucking the
worst. Don't do it, people.
Don't
do
picture
not get
that.
Baby faces.
Don't get baby face tattoos. Wait till they're older.
No. But I love you, Daddy.
The opposite. No, but that's the thing. You could also have someone's grandma.
Titty fuck me, Cleveland. But if you have to.
I gotta look at Grammy's face while having sex with you.
Or rest in peace, Grammy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Oh, man. Rest in peace, mijo. Oh. That's it's the fucking ribbon with the years, like something really sad, like 2007 to 2009, and it's just really sad. But the ribbon floats like that, and you're trying to it's hard to stay hard.
And then it's a good test for women, because if a guy fucks harder when he sees that tattoo, then you leave him, then you dump him.
Yeah.
You have good sex, and then you leave him.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Jesus.
All right, Facebook answers.
Where's Alaska? He went back to Alaska.
No, he's still here, man.
Are you
he's
here,
not
Michael?
Going there. We love
all right,
it.
Man.
Nice.
Yeah,
sticking through it, Alaska.
Woo, Alaska. Yeah.
Represent.
We're cold.
I love you, Dad.
Facebook answers. Victoria Elena says, a tree billowing in the wind.
Oh, that's sweet.
Nick Lucero, Nick Lucero says, a big black swinging dick over my actual dick. Or the whole scene from... Or the whole scene from Goodfellas where Ray Liotta calls Pesci a funny guy. The whole scene. You can watch the whole scene on him. That's amazing. But is that also near his dick too as well?
It just
audio, so it's like this a really bad broken gif.
Just a gif of like just Ray Liotta just...
Yeah,
and you really are a funny guy. Oh, blip, blip, blip.
Benjamin Elizondo,
hey, you're here.
Says, I was thinking of something like angel wings that really move, or a lower back butterfly that flies into my bee hole. Also,
your butt.
I'm gonna turn into a cocoon.
It does that right before you turn, like right before you go to the restroom. It's like it turns into a
cocoon. He just shit butterfly.
Also, he wanted a tattoo of a tube of squeeza, which is the squeezable pizza we talked about from
Squeeza,
which is a hot pocket.
It's a Boston hot pocket.
Squeezing out in perpetuity.
Yeah, it just keeps on going.
That's fucking great. Good answer, man.
Eternal squeeza.
Thanks for still being here.
Eternal squeeza. Alfred Press says a moving mole. Instant comedy gold.
Oh, yeah. Richard Lewis on Robin Hood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Andrew Thomas says, I would get a guppy on my dick that would turn into a shark.
Oh.
Dick tattoos.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 3D printed living tattoos on humans. That's not funny.
Nope, not funny.
Black Mirror shit.
So, Blind Tiger Comedy Club, you know, some of you are return guests, some of you are first-timers, and we appreciate you very much. And if you haven't noticed by now, this is an educational podcast.
Yes.
So we like to ask our guests, our audience, and ourselves, what did we come to know? What made you come to learn something new about yourself, the world, or life in general? So we'll start with us, and if you would walk over to the mic and let us know what you came to know, that would be amazing. So Jess, what did you come to know?
I've come to know that there is nothing more terrifying, because it was funny at first, and then the more I thought about it, it's really horrifying, than having, I guess, like a full-blown movie scene like that just plays forever right above your stuff, because yeah. I just think, like, is it because of love, or is it because she's a fan of Goodfellas?
Right.
And that's what I came to know. That's just terrifying. It's Black Mirror shit, and I'm scared.
What I came to know legitimately is that Will Smith did a Freddy Krueger song.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. Yeah, that's good.
Nightmare on My Street. I did not know that. Yeah, Will Smith and DJ Jazzy Jeff did a song about Los Freddy Kruegers.
Thanks, Mitchell.
Thank you. Thank you, Mitch.
What I came to know is something that I guess I've come to re-know it, is that there are no accidents in life. I happen to wear a shirt that says Alaska Airlines on it.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Did you notice that?
Are you serious?
Oh,
you're
like, no, I did.
You're such a man. You didn't notice anything.
No.
You
are
such a guy.
Did you get in Alaska?
We have been hanging out since 7 o'clock today, and he did not notice at all that I'm wearing a shirt that says Alaska on it. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious, because I couldn't get my eyes out of your eyes.
Always win me back.
I do.
Always win me back. Sorry,
I was staring at your cock.
And that's why we've been friends for so long. But Michael, yeah, it's just been super cool. He's the coolest person. But it's all meant to be, man, that you're stuck in this basement with us.
Crazy coincidence.
Do you fly Alaska Airlines often? Nice. Yeah. Do you know that if you wear a jersey with Alaska Airlines on it, you get to sit... you get seated first, like with the military people.
You get to fly the plane.
Seriously, they'll seat you. I didn't know this, but they will seat you with like parents and military first if you're wearing a jersey.
So you get to sit with the white people?
Yeah, exactly. That's first class and stuff. So just if you ever fly with them.
Catch up with the times.
Good enough.
All right, Travis, what did you come to know?
So I came to know that there is a bunch of different rap music and hip-hop music that I need to listen to that I will be able to then pass on to my daughter as I ensure that she never gets butterfly tattoos on her tits.
There you go. All right.
On her chest, on her chest.
On her chest.
On her sternum.
She's a perfect. She could perfectly get one on her toe.
I came to learn that...
Davis, what did you come to know?
I came to know that my old neighborhood is still shit.
Yep.
And also, Lawrence can sing Cake off key. He just went the distance.
Wow. He probably did to prove you wrong. I'm going to show this motherfucker I can sing Cake, and then he sings it off key.
I will survive. As long as I am... out of love, I know I can rely.
He's going the distance.
He's going for speed.
You sound like...
speed.
You sound like a robot that became self-aware.
Yeah. He's going for speed.
And his first awareness is through cake lyrics.
Why can I feel distance? He's going for speed. You don't need to control me. Okay, Abby Bettis.
Abby.
Oh, this is appropriate because I have a long jacket on, so.
Got it.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Of course, I don't get that part. I learned a lot about friendship.
Ooh.
I learned a lot about God. And always. I learned that I'm the only person in this room that knows about hip hop.
Ooh. Fuck. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sing yeah. all of Pump Up the Jam on the spot.
Right, what was your name again, sir? I'm sorry.
It's Ozzy.
Ozzy, pleasure to meet you. And finally, our final audience member guest, what did you come to know?
I came to know that, like, after 40 years in a fucking four-part documentary about hip-hop, like, the best y'all can do is a Will Smith song from the Freddy Krueger soundtrack. Nigga, fuck all y'all.
Fuck all y'all hoes. All get y'all. A grip, motherfucker. That's the start from Juicy. Yeah. So fuck you with the hip-hop game. Yeah, just save some Skilo later. How about that? You want to do that? We could do that. Fucking fiend, no limit soldier.
Yeah, Larry's taking very much offense.
Yeah,
to,
me, I'm like,
yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
yeah,
man, we'll listen to some stuff.
That Travis Scott ass motherfucker. All
right. So I wish for a berserk tattoo on my wrist, and not exactly hip hop.
Yeah, I'm fucking hip hop till I die. I know, dog. Boogie Down Productions, dog.
Yeah, we got dick, dog. So, Jess, if you can let our audience know what's what we have going
audience
on.
Audience members, thank you so much for showing up here. Thank you very, 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 very much.
Yeah!
You can listen to all of our episodes, past, present, future, at a website called oneofus.net. But you can also get older episodes and find out everything about us, find out what we do, movies, films, sketch, all that good stuff at comediaagogo.com. Please look for me. I will give you a flyer. Please look us up. Be our friends on Facebook, Twitter, hashtag public access. At ComediaAgogo, and when you're not doing it live, get on our Facebook page, Public Access Happy Campers. You can answer our topics every time we go and do a podcast when we're doing
live
it in the studio,
or
live or not. We love to share your answers. We love to be guys be the part of the audience. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And finally, guys, we're going to do it live. Every third Friday here at
Every
the Live Tiger
Friday.
Comedy Club at 10 p.m. So please tell your friends, tell your foes, tell everybody, guys. We and also, every Friday at midnight is a free stand-up comedy show right here at the Blind Tiger. So thank you to the Blind Tiger. Thank you to you guys. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we'll hip-hop you later.
Okay.
Here comes the fun! Here comes the fun!